presidentialprayerteam.org. That's presidentialprayerteam.org.
Fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're in day two this week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're taking a look at some of the key Lenten passages that the church gives us in this season as we prepare for Easter. It's a season of repentance and turning back to the Lord. It's a season of 40 days that the church gives us to turn our hearts toward the Lord, to cooperate with the grace of the Holy Spirit at work in us, to lead us deeper and deep into conformity with Jesus. And what that means to start with, it means being honest about where we stand in our relationship with Christ. It means being honest about the habit patterns of sin in our life that we may be trapped in, that we might be cooperating with sin's work in us in a way that's making it impossible for us to step into the fullness of what the Lord has called us to, living in Him and the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And the passages that the church gives us in Mass are just beautiful. They're very, very helpful. Yesterday, we looked at a passage from Daniel, where Daniel was acknowledging on behalf of the people of Israel their clear rebellion against the Lord, and contrasting their rebellion and their hardness of heart with the covenant love, the mercy, the compassion of the Lord. Today's readings carry on that very same theme. And from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, this is just one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. I want to read through these verses, and then we'll take a minute to reflect on them, and then talk about the Gospel of Matthew as well. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah." So he's talking to Sodom and Gomorrah, obviously. He says, "Wash yourselves clean!" Exclamation point. You know, wash yourselves clean. "Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil. Learn to do good. Make justice your aim. Redress the wrong. Hear the orphan's plea and defend the widow." There's a deep exhortation by the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord came on the prophet. The prophet rises up to speak the word of the Lord to the people of God. And the prophet, like prophets do, calls the people of God out of their sin. Sin is deadly. Sin is what cripples us. Sin is the source of so much of our disorder and sickness and sadness and disease and broken relationships. And the Lord calls his people out. And at the root of it is time to make a decision. I want to change. It's so simple. We can miss it at times that one of the most important things we have to do in relationship to sin is just to make a fundamental decision of heart, mind, and will that I'm done with it. I'm done playing with it. I don't want it. Now, you may not be able to get out of what habit patterns of sin and the grooves you've dug in your life, you may not be able to get out of them this second. But what's crucial is for each one of us to say, "Lord, I want your mind in relationship to sin, all the sin in my life. I don't want to keep some of it for myself." It's easy for us to get into the position of feeling like, I can't live without certain sins in my life. I can't live without things that I know the Lord doesn't want me to do. I can't give up this illicit relationship. I can't stop looking at pornography. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop cheating and taking a little money from the till. I just can't see myself forgiving this person for what they've done to me. I just can't do it, you know. And we allow sin to be present in our life. And the church in her pastoral wisdom is coming to us with the fervor of the Lord, with zeal for God's house in this season, coming to us and saying, don't be duped by sin. Sin is never healthy, it's never good, and it never helps. It may feel that way momentarily, but it will always cripple and destroy and ultimately lead to more serious sin and to death. Sin always hurts. It always hurts us. It hurts our relationship with God. And the Lord is coming to us in the wisdom of the church to say, it's time to make a decision. Stand up. Be clear about this. Like the prophet Isaiah says, let the words come right into your heart for you personally. Wash yourself clean. Wash yourself clean. Put away your misdeeds now. Make that decision that that's what you want to do. You want to cooperate with with the Lord's action in this season, not letting the season go by as just another season in the church year that comes and goes, and I know it's happening, I maybe go to church a little bit more, but in essence, it goes by me like water running off a duck's back. It doesn't penetrate me. Give the Lord permission to allow the power of his cross, the exhortation of his word, to penetrate your hearts in this season. Let's go on reading from Isaiah. He says, "Come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. If you are willing and you obey, you shall eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and resist, the sword shall consume you, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." It's the same theme that comes to us throughout the scripture. The Lord says, "I put before you life and death. I put before you blessing and a curse. Choose life. What will it be for you and me? Come, let us make things right. Let us set things right," the Lord says. And how does the Lord want to set them right? He invites us, he calls us, he exhorts us to come to him with repentant hearts. And if we are repentant, he says, if you are willing, you will receive the blessing. What the Lord has for us is not condemnation. The Lord has for us blessing. He doesn't have for us a miserable, boring life. What he has for us is life in abundance, joy in abundance, freedom in abundance. And that's true. It's absolutely true. But he says to us, what do you want? He asks us the question, what is it you want? Do you want to set things right? The Lord says, because if you do, here's my part. The Lord says, I will take your sins that are red as scarlet, that cover you, that condemn you, and I will make them white as snow. I will wash you clean, the Lord is saying. I promise you, I will give you that gift. I will make you a new person. I will literally change your life. But the question is, what do you want? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want to receive forgiveness? Do you want to give forgiveness to others? Now, he's promising the blessing for all those who desire to receive from him the only antidote for the depth of struggle that we have against sin. And there is special grace in this season. And what some of the things we do in this season to help us cooperate, to dispose ourselves to the Lord, is we fast, we pray, we give alms. You know, alms is that generous giving of our finances and our resources to the poor and the orphan, like it says here in the scripture. Remember, hear the orphan's plea. Defend the widow. Stop focusing on securing for yourself your own pleasure, your own comfort, your own security. This is what the prophet's exhorting us to. But instead, set things right now. Make yourself right with the Lord, and you'll find peace in your heart. And from that position of peace, from that place of security, you'll be able to see the orphan in a way that you weren't able to see before, or the widow, or your elderly neighbor who's sick and has no one in the world who visits them and speaks to them. Allow the Lord to use you, to give yourself away, to give you away as a gift. That only happens when we know that we're forgiven and we've been set free and our relationship with the Lord is on solid ground and we're experiencing the promise here, the blessing that he says will come to us and the good things we'll receive as a result of our turning toward him and living according to his purpose. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew today, it's interesting how it applies to this Isaiah passage. It says, from Matthew 23, Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example." Ooh, can you imagine if you were a Pharisee sitting and listening to Jesus? "For they preach, but they do not practice. They preach, but they do not practice." The Lord wants the real thing, the real deal. He doesn't want pretend or make-believe. He doesn't want hypocrisy. He wants us to walk the walk. The Pharisees are getting blasted here, but it's a good passage for us to meditate on too. Are we walking the walk? Or do we project an image, a false image of who we are? Are we living a double life? Are we living fully in both kingdoms rather than just in the kingdom of the Lord? He goes on to say, continue to give the Pharisees a hard time. He says, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. Those are like the prayer shawls they have, or the garments they wear to make them look more religious and more pious, you know. They love the places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, and greetings in the marketplace, and the salutation, Rabbi, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher. Then he goes on later to say, time's a little shorter, he says, the greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. What we have here, Jesus is using the religious leaders of all people as an example of the kind of thing that can happen in us. That we can be mainly focused on receiving the honor of others, having the highest seat at the banquet, receiving honor from men rather than the Lord. I remember not long ago, a friend of mine was organizing a big event in Rome, and the Holy Father was going to be there at this event, and there was a dinner, and this was for a lot of Catholic high rollers who were going to be there, and he had to kind of get the table set, and people were really, really concerned about where they were sitting. Of course, everybody wanted to sit the closest to the Pope, and there were arguments and fights and disagreements and very upset people that they were, you know, four chairs away from the Pope as opposed to two chairs away from the Pope, and they had made certain donations that they thought would give them the right to sit closer to the Pope. You know, it's very much like this, you know. And I think all of us can relate in some way to what's being said here, but the heart of what Jesus is after is he said, look out for hypocrisy. Look out for putting on a show. Look out for not being the real deal and not walking the walk, because the Lord can see it as plain as day. And he says, what I want from you is humility and honesty. And I want you to humble yourself and become the servant of all. I want you to put others first. And I want you to humble yourself. That begins with acknowledging the reality of where your heart is in relationship with the Lord. Am I saying yes to sin in my life? Am I giving sin room in my life for my own pleasure, for my own satisfaction? And the Lord is saying, it's time to turn away, to humble yourself